Thank you, Nixon's. What a blessing. Beautiful song. Well, it was back in the 90s. I haven't got used to saying that yet, back in the 90s. But I was still pastoring in Bern, Indiana, and one of my young men told me that he was going to take a trip to Romania. And he mentioned Berean Baptist Church of Adrian. He mentioned Pastor Cox, and of course Dr. Tom Williams was involved in that. And Brother Marvin Nussbaum is the fellow's name. He went to Romania. I remember talking to him about how to pack his suitcase and all those kind of things. And again, this was many years ago, and he was just a young man then and excited about serving God. And so he went to Romania with folks from right here, Berean Baptist Church, and he, of course, being from Faith Baptist in Bern, Indiana. And he went there and came back so excited. But not long after that, he came back with a teen boy from Romania named George Pordia. And George had come back to, come over here to Adrian, Michigan, and stayed here and came to this church and then spent several weeks there in Bern, Indiana with Brother Marvin and in our church. And I got to know him and had absolutely no idea what God was going to do. Now, see, we older folks, we look out at young people and we look out at everybody. You're not here by accident. Everything is on purpose with God. And now, Dr. George Pordia is a pastor in Romania of the Hope Baptist Church, and we got to see a DVD of his church, and my, how God has blessed. And I sat there, and I'm just so proud of George. So proud of him, and so excited about what God has done in his life. Listen to him. It'll be a blessing, be a challenge to you. Let God speak to your heart. Brother Pordia.
Good morning. I want to start by thanking all of you for giving me the opportunity this morning to stand in this pulpit and preach the Word of God. It is always an honor and a great responsibility at the same time to stand in front of souls, living souls, and preach the Word of God and have the authority to say, "Thus saith the Lord." So I pray that this morning you will hear from the Lord, not from me. I pray that this morning you will open your heart and let the Lord search you and let the Lord show you what He wants to do in you and through your life. I want to say from the very beginning that my history with Berean Baptist Church goes way back, and I am always grateful for the involvement and the investment of this church in my life. You have no idea how the Lord has used this church in a young man's life, and I believe it was a turning point when Pastor Mike Cox came to Romania, and then through him I got back to the States here and met many of you, and then Berean Baptist Church decided to sponsor me through college, and through Berean Baptist Church actually I obtained my student visa to come to this country, and I went to Howells Anderson College, and this church was my home church away from home. And I want to thank you so much for everything that you have done for me while I was in college, and what you have done for our family since we left for Romania in 1999, and since then all the way to today. I am grateful for everything that you have done, and I want you to know that I do not take it for granted. I do not take it lightly, and I pray that each and every one of you will receive a reward from our Savior Jesus Christ, and I pray that every one of us would hear Him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So thank you from the bottom of my heart for everything that you have done for me, for my family, and the ministry that the Lord has given us in Romania. Also want to thank Pastor Rogers for giving me this honor to stand on Sunday morning in his pulpit. I I know that every pastor usually on Sunday mornings hangs on to the pulpit and he doesn't let it go. I know that he has a great love for me, for our family, by giving up his pulpit this morning and entrusting me with this awesome responsibility of bringing the Word of God to you. And I pray that you will not just serve a meal this morning and go the rest of the week starving. I pray that you will take what it said and think on it, meditate on it, and apply it to your life. And I pray that God will do a great work in our midst this morning. I want to ask you to open your Bibles in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, a very familiar passage of Scripture. I know that you have heard many sermons from this passage. I know there are still new things that we haven't thought of from Matthew 14, but I'm not going to preach anything new this morning. I'm just going to use a short prayer that I find in this passage, then I'll go on from this passage to another. In Matthew chapter 14, in verse 22, the Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him and saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you so much for the opportunity we have to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for the promise that you have made to us that if two or three gather together in your name, you are in their midst. So, Lord, we gather this morning in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, and we ask for your presence among us. We ask, Lord God, that the Holy Spirit that lives within us would convict our hearts and show us what needs to be changed. Show us what needs to be done so that we might be perfectly in your will. I pray, Lord God, that you will help me to speak in such a way that the people would understand. I pray that you will give me the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you will receive all the glory and praise and honor. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, we ask all these. Amen. One of the greatest stories in the Bible is recorded in the passage that we just read. I know that some of us look at this passage and we understand what happened before it. We understand what happened after it. A great miracle took place where Jesus fed 5,000 men, 5,000 men plus the women, plus the children, with five loaves and two fishes. I'm sure after such an event, the disciples of our Savior Jesus Christ would have loved to just be around our Savior. I'm sure they would have loved to just sit around and talk about the excitement of this event. Yet the Bible says that Jesus Christ, our Savior, constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side. It is interesting that Jesus had to constrain them. Jesus had to convince them. Jesus had to force them to get into the ship and go on the other side. I wish every one of us would have this love in our hearts to always desire to be around our Savior, Jesus Christ. I wish that our Savior would have to say, okay, I'm loving the fact that you want to be with me, but I have a job for you. I want you to go on the other side. In the evening, the disciples are in the middle of the sea fighting the waves. The sea is against them. The waves are against them. The wind is against them. But Jesus is for them. Because the Bible says he is praying. And I'm sure he was praying for his disciples and for their faith. He is by himself praying that his disciples will see again the mighty hand of the Almighty God through Jesus Christ. Let me say this morning that there are times in our life when God is going to send us through a storm. I know that we as Christians are very quick to judge. And when we see a person going through it, and when we see a person going through a storm, and when we see a person going through tribulation, automatically we ask ourselves the questions, I wonder what sin does this person has in his life. I wonder what he has done that he's going through it. And yet in this passage of scripture we see that the disciples were in the storm, but at the same time in the midst of God's will. So you can be in the storm of your life and still be in God's will and still be right with God and still do what God has asked you to do. Ask Job. Yet they were fighting against the sea, against the waves. And the Bible says that Jesus walked toward them on the sea. And when he got there, he said, don't be afraid. It is I. It's me. And Peter, the disciple who is the most vocal one, asked the Lord, if it is you, I want you to command me to get out of the ship and come to you walking on water. And Jesus said, okay, come. I'm sure the other disciples were saying, you lost your mind, Peter. Don't you see what's going on around us? Don't you see the waves? Don't you see the sea? Can't you feel the wind? Everything is against us. And you want to get out of the boat? Yet Peter put his eyes on Jesus Christ. And he started walking on the sea. The Bible says in verse 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, and this was the time where his eyes were no more on Jesus, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. We are so hard on Peter. We look at the way that he was sinking and we look at his cry, Lord, save me. And we say, see, Peter, you should have stayed in the boat. Yet Peter, as of right now, as far as I know, he holds the record on walking on water. If you don't believe me, you can try it yourself and see how far you get. Before we start criticizing Peter for taking a few steps and then sinking, let's see how many steps can we take. But what I want to focus on is the fact that Peter, in the midst of his storm, he didn't pray pompous prayers. He didn't spend a whole lot of time trying to write an awesome prayer that would impress everyone in the boat. But he looked toward his Savior and he said, Lord, save me. And I believe that our Savior, when we pray, does not look at our words, does not hear our words, but he looks on our heart. And he wants to see our cry deep down inside of us, who says, Lord, I know you have the power to save me. So Lord, please save me. I remember as I was growing up under communism for 45 years, the people of Romania, the Christians especially, would cry unto the Lord, saying, Lord, please save us.
I'm remembered of the people of Israel who were in the bondage of the Egyptians, crying unto God and saying, God, please save us. And God did. During the days of communism in Romania, there were so many people that were going through the storms of life. Imagine coming to church this morning and having somebody in the auditorium saying to every one of you, I want your IDs out. I want your driver's licenses out. I want to make a list of who's here. And then the following day to receive a fine for being in church. And I'm not talking about $100. I'm talking about $5,000. Imagine coming to church and seeing somebody in the auditorium saying, okay, your kids are taken away from you because you came into a church that is not registered with the Communist Party. Never to see your kids again. Those of you who were in Sunday school, you saw that the church that I pastor has a history, and the pastor of that church, it was an unregistered church, would be asked on Monday morning to come into the secret police headquarters. And he would be placed into a room all by himself. He would be given a piece of paper and a pen, and he would have to start writing everything that happened in church on Sunday. Who was there? Who got saved? Who got baptized? How many people? And so forth. And this pastor would sit in that room from 8 o'clock in the morning to 4 o'clock in the afternoon, writing nothing. Little did he know that as he was sitting there in that room every Monday, he was fed radiation through the vents. It wasn't long after that he passed away. But it took something to be a Christian during those days. And yet Christians were going through the storms of life. One of the pastors that is very well known, he's with the Lord now, by the name of Richard Wurmbrand. He was an icon to pastors because he took a stand no matter the cost. He wrote in his book about a police officer who would torture him every day. He would be placed into a cold cell with no clothes on, just a simple blanket. He would have to use the restroom in that cell. He had a bucket. And then one evening, this officer took him out and took his waste, and he set him at the table and started reading the passage for the Lord's Supper. While the preacher was being fed his waste, he was thrown back into his cell. And as he was sitting there, ashamed of what has happened, he was asking the Lord for forgiveness for this man who just blasphemed the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice of our Savior on the cross. And he noticed that the guard was shivering because he left his coat home. And God said, Richard, I want you to take your blanket and give it to this guy. And he said, what? Don't you know what this man just did to the symbolism of my Savior's sacrifice? He said, I'm not giving him anything. And he said, Richard, do you love me? And he said, yes, I do, Lord. You know I love you. That's why I'm here. And I said, well, I love him too. Would you give him your blanket? And he eventually gave in, and he took his blanket and threw it to the guard and said, sir, you need it more than I do. And that officer with tears in his eyes said, sir, I can't explain the love that you have for me after all I've done for you. And this preacher had the opportunity to share the good news and the love of Christ with this officer, and he got saved. He was having problems with his wife, and he started counseling him on how to be a good husband. And he put the marriage together, and then this officer shared with the other man what the preacher was counseling him about, and they said, "We want the same thing," and about 30 guards got saved because the man of God said, "Okay, Lord, I'll give up my blanket." Storms of life. The revolution of 1989 started with a pastor who was about to be taken away from his house and transferred to a different place, a different city, probably placed in jail. Yet the people of the church came to his house and made a chain, a human chain around the house and said, "You can't take our preacher." And when the police officers came, they said, no, we have to. They said, "But no, you can't get through here." And people that were passing by the street said, "What's going on here?" So they said, "You know, they're trying to take our pastor away." And it's like, "Well, they can't do that." And more people added up to this little group of people who said, no, he can't do that. And that's how the revolution of 1989 in Romania started. And during those days, the people of Romania, during the revolution, because it was Christmas season, would start crying out, "Emmanuel, Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God is with us, God is with us, God is with us." They would get on their knees and pray together the Lord's Prayer. The pastor of our church went to the mayor's office, and he had a huge balcony when he was able to stand and preach to the multitudes. Because God heard their cry, "Lord, save us." Let me say this morning that no matter what the storms you're going through, no matter how big they are, no matter how hard they are, no matter how difficult to bear, remember that we have a Savior who wants us to hear our voice say, our hearts pray, "Lord, save us." And if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, I pray that this morning you will cry unto Him, "Lord, please save me. Please free me from the bondage of my sin. Please take me away from the sin that I am bound to. Give me freedom in Christ. Lord, save me." In Psalm 139, David is writing an unbelievable song. And I wish we could comprehend everything that he's saying here, and we try to explain everything, but basically David is saying, "My God is an awesome God." From verses 1 to 4, we see that our God is omniscient. In verse 2, David says, "Thou knowest." God knows everything about us. God knows when we are in a storm. God knows when we are out of the storm. God knows when we are about to enter a storm. God knows everything about you and about me. God knows when I sit down, and God knows when I get up. God knows my thoughts. God understands my thoughts. He knows my plans. He knows my decisions. He knows my desires. In fact, He knows every word that I am about to speak before I even speak it. God knows everything about us. You might think you can hide from preacher. And you might. You might hide from him. But you can't hide from God. God knows everything about you. God knows the baggage that you came with this morning to this church. God knows what you did last night. God knows what you did last week. God knows all your thoughts that you had, good or bad, last week. God knows everything about us. You know, we come to church on Sunday morning and we all look good. We all do. We put our best clothes on. We put some cologne or perfume and we fix our hair and we come to God's house and we put a smile on and we say, everything's okay. And God knows it's not okay. God knows everything. And then David goes further in the next verses, and basically verse 8 is the summary of this passage where he says, thou art there. Thou art there. There is no place that I could go where God is not. Because God's name is God is. I am. God is everywhere. God is here right now. God is waiting for you at home. God is waiting for you in the evening right here at church. God is everywhere. David says, there is no place where I can hide from the presence of God. There is no place where God is not. He is infinite. He has no measure. If I go to heaven, He is there. If I descend into hell, He is there. If I fly unto the uttermost part of the sea, God is already there. If I try to hide into darkness, the night shines as the day because God is there. And God is light. God is there. I can't hide from God. During communism, all the land of the people was confiscated by the government. And the people were forced to work their lands for the benefit of the country without reaping the rewards, the harvest. One evening, a Christian took his son on their own land, but a land that belonged to the communists now. And the father looked forward and he looked backwards to the left and to the right. And he said to the son, hold on the bag. Hang on to it. And he started taking some cabbage and stuffing it in that bag. And the son said, God is everywhere and you forgot to look up. You know, no matter what we think we could do to hide from God, God is there. We may be able to hide from people, but never can we hide from God. And then in verses 13 to 16, we see that God is omnipotent. God can do anything. And God made you. Scientists are still discovering new things about us. We still don't know everything there is to know about this human body. Because God is so awesome that He could do anything. And He made you. And He made you to be a wonderful creation. And after David says that God is omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent, he comes with this prayer in verse 22, and he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let me ask you this morning, what are the things that you are trying to hide from God? Let me ask you this morning, what are the things that you believe that nobody knows anything about them? Let me ask you this morning, what are the things that you hang on to? And you don't want to give them up. God is there. God knows. And God can.
Why don't we pray this morning, Lord, there are some things in our lives that shouldn't be there. And we want you to search us. We want you to look down deep in our hearts and show us what we need to get rid of. You know, there is still something that you can change in your life. I don't know what it is, but God knows. And if you're willing to say, Lord, would you please search me and would you please show me? God will. And the last place where I want to go this morning is in Isaiah chapter 6. Again, a very familiar passage of Scripture. We saw that Peter prayed, Lord, save me. David prayed, Lord, search me. Isaiah prays, Lord, send me. Last passage this morning is a passage in which Isaiah has a crisis in his life. The king is dead. And Isaiah's thinking, what's going to happen to the nation? There is a crisis in the land. Who's going to take the throne? Until he sees that God is on the throne and he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, there is no crisis with the Lord this morning. Isn't it funny that every morning when we get up and we get in our cars and we pass by a gas station, we glance to see, has anything happened to the gas price? You know, God's not worried. He's not rubbing his hands, ooh, what am I going to do with the oil? These people are crazy. They're inflating the prices. God is on the throne, and we are right on schedule. But Isaiah was human just like us. And he went through this period of time where he started worrying and he was thinking what's going to happen because the king is dead. Yet he sees the Lord and he sees another quality of our Almighty God in verse 3. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And when Isaiah sees the Lord and Isaiah sees that God is three times holy. In verse 5 he says, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When Isaiah cries unto the Lord, woe is me, he's basically saying, Lord, would you save me? Would you search me? I look at me and I see your holiness, and compared to your holiness, I'm so dirty. I'm wicked. And the Lord sends a seraphim and Isaiah gets cleansed. And after he is cleansed, after he is touched by the Lord, after he prayed, Lord, search me, after God took away what was dirty and wicked in his life, the Bible says in verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying. You want to know what God's will for your life is? You want to hear God's voice? You want to hear him say which way you should turn? What decisions you should make? Be willing to pray this morning, Lord, please search me. Please touch me and cleanse me. Please take my iniquity away. Please take my wicked ways. Then I heard the voice of the Lord. Then Isaiah
saw the will of God. Then Isaiah heard God ask him, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, and this is our third prayer, here am I, Lord, send me. Send me, Lord. There's a great need in this world for people to know the Lord Jesus as personal Savior. People are dying left and right. And so many of them, unfortunately, go to a Christless hell. There's a great need for somebody this morning to pray and say, Lord, send me. If it means send me to my neighbors, I'll go. If it means send me to my peers, I'll go. If it means send me to my coworkers, I'll go. If it means sending me to another country, I'll go. Here am I, Lord. Send me. I wish I could say that we are getting the job done. I wish I could say that Christians are so on fire for the Lord that this world is turning to Christ at the fastest rate ever. But we are failing miserably because we have become complacent, lukewarm, mediocre. We are happy with our Christianity that we practice on Sunday. And yet people are dying right next to us. In our church, in the last few years, we had over 150 people leave Romania. No, not to go on a mission field, but to go to a Western country of Europe for a better job, for a better pay, to make more money. I wish I could say that they are coming back on fire for God. But unfortunately, they are coming back one by one with families broken up, with kids who ran wild away from the Lord, with problems in their lives. There are 6.8 billion people in this world today. If I could count every one of them one by one, if I could line them up, and I could count them one by one, 8 hours a day, 7 days a week, it would take me 646 years, 321 days, 53 minutes, and 20 seconds just to count them. Yet we have 250,000 people born every day. We have a whole city born every day. If we were to freeze the rate of births and deaths and win the world with the same speed as we do today, it would take us more than 4,000 years. More than 40% of this world never heard the name Jesus. And 70% of the world has no Christian literature in their native language. That's why tonight, some of us need to say, Lord, send me. I'll go. That's why tonight, some of us need to hear the voice of the Lord saying, Lord, here am I. Send me. I don't know which prayer is the one you need this morning, but maybe you need to pray, Lord, save me. Maybe you are in the midst of a storm and you need God's help. Why don't you honestly
by faith, sincerely come to the Lord, saying, Lord, save me. If you know our Savior, if you do not know our Savior, Jesus Christ, why don't you come this morning saying, Lord, save me. If you know Him, why don't you pray, Lord, search me. Lord, what is in my heart? What do I have in my life that is not according to your will? It's not what you want. Lord, search me. And help me repent of my sin. And turn from my wicked ways. And then we will hear the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And some of us need to pray this morning, Lord, send me. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes?
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder if there's someone here this morning who'd say, Preacher, I'm the one that's not even saved. If I died right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or not. I'm not sure that I'm a Christian. I'm not sure I'm saved. Raise your hand. Say, pray for me, please. Pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. Anyone? Just slip up your hand. Say, pray for me. Pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I wonder if there's a Christian here today and say, Preacher, God has spoken to my heart today about something. God's dealing with me as a Christian. I know I'm saved. I've trusted Christ. But God is speaking to my heart. Please pray for me. Raise your hand. Slip it up all over. All over. Father, thank you for speaking to hearts. Certainly, Lord, if there's someone here who's not saved, I pray you'd save them today. And I pray for Christians. Lord, many hands went up. Lord, you know the hearts. You know the need. I pray decisions would be made today during our invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand, please. 471, 471. God's speaking to your heart today. You have a decision to make. Do not hesitate. If you're not sure you're saved, we'll show you how to be saved. Christians, you need to pray. You come. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Any others need to come? The invitation's still open. If you have a decision to make, God's speaking to your heart. That's why we come. Maybe you need to say, Lord, save me. Lord, search me. Lord, send me. Each step requires you just to trust God. Well, Preacher, I don't want God to search me. I mean, he already knows. He already knows. If you need to come, come on. Still time. right. You can be seated. Jacob Hollins has come, and he is going to get baptized. I'm going to have the ushers go ahead and come, and we're going to receive a love offering for Brother Pordia. And so you give. They'll go ahead and come. Kind of caught them off guard maybe a little bit, but we'll be all right. And right after we receive the love offering, we will baptize Jacob. All right. Brother Adam Camacho, would you pray for the love offering, please? This is Jacob Hollins. Jacob, have you trusted Jesus as your Savior?
Yes.
In obedience to our Lord's command and upon your profession of faith in Christ as your Savior, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Let's all stand. This has never, ever happened before. I sat there absolutely amazed. But my message for tonight, as Brother Pordia was reading the text, at first he said Matthew 14. I said, oh, no. I mean the exact passage. I'm singing tonight, till the storm passes by. So anyway, he's going through the passage, same exact passage. Guess what my title of my message is tonight? Lord, save me.
Oh.
Unbelievable. I've never had that happen before. I didn't just now write it either. I wrote it well before. But Brother Pordia, that's good. So you're going to hear Lord, save me part two. But I'm sitting there thinking, okay, well, I'll just do something different. But it is a little different. But praise the Lord. I love it when God does that. Amen. And it sure has been good having George here. I'll tell you, I am so blessed by his work and what he's doing. I hope you'll be faithful to pray for him. He's got cards out on the table there in the foyer. Make sure you get his prayer card and pray for the Pordias. God will bless them, and that'll be real good. As far as tonight, 4:30 ensemble, the drama team up here in the foyer. 5 o'clock, all the different prayer groups. Teams meet at 5, choir, and all the different singing groups as well. So, and then 6 o'clock, the service tonight. So we'll have Lord's Supper, and it'll be a good service. Looking forward to it. Brother Don, would you close in prayer, please?
Father, we thank you for your word, for the examples that you've given to us in it. And Lord, as was proclaimed this morning, as we go from this room, I pray there's not one that leaves this room this morning that still needs to pray, Lord, save me. But Lord, that every one of us would be willing to pray, Lord, search me, Lord, send me. And as we go, may we be sent by your Holy Ghost and follow the leading of his footsteps and go boldly in his power as we will live our lives this week. Father, guide us again tonight to the same place. May you be challenged by your word and convicted by your Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name.